the longest gospel of the year. And it takes us right up to the edge, doesn't it? Except the note that we leave on doesn't seem to be one of hope, rather one of defeat. Just as they had promised, the adversaries of Jesus had seemingly done him in. And just as Jesus had prophesied himself, those who were his followers, by and large, dispersed and denied. My dear friends, as we come together today in a feast that just by its structure seems to mirror the fickleness of humanity, beginning with the triumphal entry into Jerusalem and days later, the same crowds throwing out shouts of denial and calling for his crucifixion. We're confronted really not with just the woundedness that Jesus experienced, but when we look at Jesus, we need to see ourselves. Because what was it that Jesus Christ did? He took on our state. He took on our existence. He took on our woundedness. Earlier this week, I saw a tweet that was a quote from someone who had just finished their Alpha retreat. And it said in so many words, and again, it's actually, I should say, in so many letters, because you only get so many when you tweet on Twitter, right? He said, "I went into the retreat knowing that I was broken, but I didn't realize that everybody else was broken. And together, we found healing." You see, part of our struggle, I believe, is that our brokenness, and whether that is from a life experience that we've had, a sin or pattern of behavior in which we've engaged, an obsession, a compulsion, whatever label you want to put on it, it tends to isolate us. And you might think, I'm the only one that is dealing with this. It's almost like we allow the label to be imposed to where we're put into solitary confinement. Think about it. Have you ever had that feeling when you felt so alone? And maybe it wasn't just because you'd done something wrong or ill-advised. Maybe it was just an experience that you were having in life. You know, you think about it, you lose a loved one that you'll hold so dear. And probably the largest hurdle to get over after the funeral is done is to be able to look at a world that seems to have gone on, where joy still seems to be present. And you almost ask yourself, why isn't everyone else feeling this the way that I'm feeling it? That must have been somewhat the experience of the disciples. They had to have been overcome not with the pain that came from losing Jesus, but the guilt that came from denying him, from abandoning him. And then the fear that certainly would have set in as to what would happen next. But my dear friends, today, the good news is the gospel we read isn't finished. And this week invites us to anew go in and walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Yes, to walk in his footsteps, which are really our footsteps. Times that we walk through moments of agony, feelings of defeat, experiences of being isolated or alone. And this week invites us to name, to claim, to own our woundedness, but like we do at every Mass, to present them to God as our true selves, as works in progress that still are inherently loved and good in God's eyes. As we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, which are our footsteps, can we not just walk with him to Calvary? Can we go into that tomb? Can we be called out? In many ways, as Lazarus was last week. It's in naming our woundedness. It's in naming our pain, our defeat, our isolation that opens the door to that new life. The best advice I could give, or the best counsel I could give to anyone today, is to not squander this Holy Week, these holy days that are the church's gift to us to really intentionally place ourselves before Jesus, to recollect what it's done. And really, those days of the Easter Triduum are in essence a mini retreat, a mini mission, where we can let the Lord touch us in those beautiful liturgies, and if we let him, in the quiet time that we take, opening ourselves to let him speak to our hearts. The good news in this is none of us are ever, ever alone. We may feel isolated. We might isolate ourselves. But we're never alone. So this week, let's take that precious gift of time and tithe a portion of it, as much as we're able, to receive an even greater gift. The gift that God gives to us in Jesus Christ, who himself suffered and died for us, taking on human likeness, becoming, in essence, a slave for us, so that we'd no longer be in bondage as slaves to sin. This week is a message of hope. It's a message that reminds us that God isn't finished with us yet, that he has certainly much more in store. Amen.